Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, as soon as the draft was over, the Steelers went out and signed a safety.
I don't know if anybody even knows that.
They didn't address in the draft. And they go out and they signed DeMonte KZ. He played last year with Dallas, but really played the first four seasons of his career with
the
Atlanta Falcons.
There were rumors of them signing him before Edmonds.
There was interest,
right?
Yeah, there was interest there. He's more of a free than he is a strong.
I think he has some...
But he could play both.
Some slot capabilities, too. I'm going to do more homework on him, but he has a corner background.
Got some
college
ball skills, eight interceptions in his career.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to throw out Tyrann Mathieu as a comp, but I think he's more that style safety than he is true deep middle or true strong.
Yeah.
You know, he'll play near the line. He might be a better version or a bigger version of Hilton.
Yeah. So what they did was, you know, they went out and filled a spot that they hadn't filled in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Colbert said this after, like, he was asked about the offensive line situation.
Yeah.
You didn't add any offensive linemen. So, well, we did that in free agency, first of all.
Yeah.
And secondly, when you only have seven draft picks, you can't add everything.
Everybody wants everything. Well, they didn't get this. Well, you only have so many picks.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked so much, I forget where you even mentioned this, but you had a great point that offensive line room is pretty full already.
Yeah.
The safety room wasn't.
And it was not, yeah.
KZ's a NFL player that's going to play nickel, dime, maybe start some games. I don't know. You know, if Minka gets hurt, the world's not over. You know, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
you've got a guy who's lined up and started NFL games as a free safety.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the contract. I assume it's a very...
Well, if Edmonds got $2.5 million a year, I'm guessing he got less.
It's in that neighborhood. I mean, I hope we get to talk about this a lot between now and camp, but there's going to be some fun signings that are cheap as can be for all teams.
That's where I wanted to go with this. So if you were looking at the Steelers roster as we sit here right now, where else do you want to add at?
I don't have a great name. I know you have some thoughts on this, but a veteran running back. This is a really broad one because I don't know where he fits in. But I want to sign an old guy on offense. You know, somebody that's highly respected.
Not an old guy.
No, I mean, I'm not asking Larry Fitzgerald to come out of retirement or anything. They're just really young on offense.
Here's some running back names that are out there.
Okay.
David Johnson, Sony Michel.
I would live with David Johnson, to come to think of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, David Johnson on his best day rivaled Lev Bell as the best back in this league.
Absolutely.
A big receiver. I bet he could teach Najee
a thing or two about being a receiver.
I like that one the more I think about it.
David Johnson, Sony Michel, Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon. A couple of Chiefs on there.
Yeah. I don't love McKinnon's style of play.
He played really well for them in the playoffs last year. I mean, he showed he still has juice. I can see why people like him.
Oh, I mean, go back and Google McKinnon's combine. He was a quarterback at Georgia Southern that they turned into running back because he's so explosive and athletic. What I don't like about him is sometimes he just runs really fast into whatever's in front of him. Yeah. I mean, that might be, you know, whatever. He just runs.
But he's a big, you know, he
can catch a ball, too.
Yeah, catches the ball well. And then there's these other two. Those guys are a certain type. Those are more feature-type runner types.
If Harris would get hurt, they become the back. They're the handcuff.
Yeah. Tariq Cohen and Philip Lindsay are out there.
Yeah. I think Lindsay's closer to a handcuff than Cohen.
Yes.
Cohen's a total satellite back.
But what you're looking at here, okay, Benny Snell's going to be on this roster.
Probably
as a special teams player. As you're, okay, he can, you know.
I wouldn't guarantee he's on the roster.
No, there's no guarantee,
but he's
probably on the roster. Yeah. I can't say the same about Anthony McFarland.
No, he hasn't done a thing.
He hasn't done anything.
This is year three, right?
Tariq Cohen and Philip Lindsay are
Anthony, they're NFL players.
They have and they have the same similar traits. If that's what you're looking for, you want that.
Cohen's a much better receiver.
During training camp last year, they had a lot of stuff where they had Najee Harris and Anthony McFarland on the field at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They'd break the huddle and they both split wide, and then one of them motioned into the backfield.
Mm-hmm. Or okay. There'd be jet motion or whatever. You know, right?
That puts some stress on your defense.
Yes.
Which ones, you know, who's going out? And maybe they even did it this way. I don't know. I never get them to admit it. But whoever went out wide, if a safety went out wide with McFarland and a linebacker went out wide with Harris, well, then you motion.
We take that.
You motion McFarland into the backfield because now they're still light in the box.
I want to continue this conversation, but I also want to throw out, too, because you've brought this up many times this weekend. We're just scratching the surface on how Najee's going to be used in
absolutely.
The receiving game.
Yeah.
He may not catch a ton more balls this year, but they're going to be,
higher
routes.
Quality.
Yeah, they're not going to be dump it off and get the ball out of your hands in 2 seconds. So that being said, I think the plans for him are to be very involved in the passing game.
I mean, he had 74 catches last year. I think he could have 75-ish again this year. And
average more per catch and do more damage
productive,
that way.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of a Cohen. I wish I should know this, but I think that I don't know that Lindsey's much of a route runner. I think he's just a small, every
speedy
down back,
guy.
You know, that's fast and plays hard, and he's an NFL player too. Cohen's different to me, even though they're both small, they're both fast. Cohen's a route runner. He's just coming off a major injury.
Yeah,
I hope he's healthy.
Yeah, that would be the question there. But I mean,
there's some good names there you mentioned.
Melvin Gordon signed a 1 year, $2.5 million deal to return to the Broncos.
That's nothing.
He's the best of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the offseason, he was the best running back available.
I would have considered giving him 2.5 for the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know.
These guys aren't going to cost you more than that.
No. They're all going to be cheaper than what we just said.
And so you can go get one of these guys.
Mm-hmm. And a couple will get cut, too. Mike Davis got cut today.
Yeah, Mike Davis got released today. So that's a spot that I would look at. And it helps your running back room. Again, we think of Najee Harris because he played so much last year. Well, he's a veteran. He really isn't.
The whole offense is really young.
If you could get a D'Angelo Williams type guy, who could be a leader on that side of the ball, who can also maybe replace, if Najee Harris goes down,
you're okay.
You got something there,
right? I don't even know what position, but I wouldn't mind adding a Hayward Bay type guy.
You look at their wide receiver room.
It got crowded all of a sudden.
It's very crowded. Okay, so in the last
went from having two to a million.
In the last week, they claim Miles Boykin off waivers,
which doesn't mean he's making the team, but they liked him enough to claim him.
Right.
But that's
no cost. He's $2.5 million. If they release him, it doesn't cost him anything.
I think all that tells us is they liked him coming out of Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and
But you also have Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Anthony Miller, who you mentioned earlier, Cody White, Gunnar Olszewski. We think he's going to make
the team, right?
Steven Sims and Rico Bussey. The only one of those guys who has
two rookies,
two rookies that you added to the equation. Yeah. So the only one of those of the players who were on the roster before the draft who hadn't played in the NFL is Rico Bussey. The other guys have all played NFL snaps and been contributors on NFL teams,
right? I don't know if Miller's guaranteed a roster spot, but I would think
it's pretty close. Yeah.
They'll probably keep six of those.
Right. So Olszewski's going to make the team. They just signed him. They're probably not going to cut him.
He's going to make the team,
And he's a great special teams player. Yeah. He's your Hayward Bay.
He just wasn't the eighth pick in the draft or whatever.
He'll run down and cover kicks and do all that stuff. He'll return punts.
He's not going to play on offense, hopefully.
Hopefully. That's the idea.
Right.
Johnson and Claypool are going to make the team. The two draft picks are going to make the team. That's already five.
That's five immediately. I think Miller has a really good chance.
And then you're looking at Miller and White and Boykin and Steven Sims, who's been a guy that's...
I always forget about Sims. But he's not a throwaway.
No.
I mean,
there's some guys there that you look at and say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider a trade with... Would you call up the Chicago... We talked about the Atlanta Falcons.
Who are you dumping, though?
The Atlanta Falcons wide receiver room.
It's so bad.
Look at the Bears receiver room and tell them it might be worse.
Else. Right.
It might be worse because at least the Falcons added a first-round pick to theirs.
Good point. Yeah.
Who
are you dealing with?
You're probably not going to get them the Bears to say, hey, you want to trade for Anthony Miller back again.
It's
probably not
going to
happen.
Oh,
it is a whole new group.
I don't know who's marketable, though. You're not going to move Claypool or Johnson.
Right. Could you trade a Boykin?
don't.
But he just went through waivers. But a team that went through the draft and didn't get a receiver,
right? I mean, you're getting six,
the Baltimore Ravens,
those guys
traded
right,
their right. number one receiver and didn't get anybody back. Do you think they want? Well,
let's revisit
maybe we shouldn't
this.
Have, maybe we shouldn't have released Miles Boykin.
Well, maybe. Let's revisit this like after two preseason games.
Yeah.
Because if Boykin's, I mean, if there's really good tape that you can, the teams are looking at, maybe. I don't think right now you can move.
Or
any
Anthony
of those
Miller
dudes.
Goes out and you know right, tears right. it up. I mean, there's some potential there to mm-hmm. To have a surplus.
I think it's safe to say now that they're going to cut or move on from a pretty good player, an NFL player,
NFL wide receiver. They're gonna probably end up releasing two or three NFL mm-hmm. wide receivers.
Unless
guys,
they have a rash of injuries,
guys who will sign somewhere right. else and probably play.
Yeah. So I bet there's seven names on that list or eight that are employed this year.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that
you
should
be really shallow.
Other than I think they're set at offensive line, regardless of what a lot of fans think. I think, you know, yeah. you look at that offensive line, everybody's 26 or under.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a great name. Here's the wrong type. But I would consider a Jason Peters light. You know, someone that's really been around the block that had some success that is pretty beat up and worn down. But if the dam breaks and it's a nightmare, it'd have to be somebody that's really technically sound, leader, you know, Whitworth. You know, I mean, yeah. these guys are Hall of Famers. I mean, you're not, I'm talking a much lesser version of that.
See, I don't think it's, you know, it's going to be awful. Guys are, you know, this is the thing of
maybe
fans overlook.
Maybe a future O-line coach. You know?
Guys are allowed to get better. That's the difference between a line that, well, they just stink, and they're all 28 or 29, and they're not getting any better. Mm-hmm. They are what they are at that point. These guys are all young players with experience who are going to continue to get better.
I can't stress enough how impressed I am, not with the five or seven or eight names that are on the offensive line right now, but the current construction of it, of it's a rare, rare blend of youth, experience, and being cost-controlled. You know, the ability to build continuity here is rare in today's NFL.
You're not paying any of these guys $10 million a year.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
No, right. You know, and I don't think any of us would still be shocked if they use their first-round pick next year on an offensive lineman. Right. Or, you know, I mean, it's not like, boy, these are set in stone, but they could all grow together and be a quality unit. It's not going to be Pouncey and DeCastro or Fanica. I mean, you know, but it's. I don't think it will be a liability.
Yeah, I would think that this year
it's going to get better.
They make a pretty decent jump.
I'd be shocked if the offense doesn't make a pretty decent jump.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it'll be top 12, you
right.
know, but I don't think it'll be bottom 12.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think
they'll take that,
yeah.
you know.
So I don't think they necessarily add their tight end, I think, is pretty set.
Especially if you count Hayward as a tight end.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you got some quality guys there.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Defensive line, we talked about, that's pretty set.
There's a lot of names there, too.
A lot of names there that
right.
you're going to
end up. If you only keep six, but there's seven that are going to make the team.
Outside linebacker and inside linebacker.
Outside might be my second biggest need now besides running back.
Yeah.
I know Ingram didn't work out here, but if somebody of that ilk were available at that kind of price, that would be smart.
Yeah. I mean, they got Derek Tuska there.
I want him to be the four, though.
Right.
I don't see a three.
Yeah, I don't see a three either.
Yeah.
Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle with Tyree Johnson or something like that, but you don't know.
Maybe. But I would like a veteran Justin Houston-type guy there
you know,
that has played, that you don't expect to play a lot. I mean, if Watt misses, I mean, Watt's not been the pillar of durability either.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just asking those two guys to play too much anyway.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Inside linebacker, I'm not as
a little crowded, too.
I keep going back to Jannard Avery.
Yeah.
Is he your number three?
I don't think
outside?
He's a throwaway. We're going to bring him up a lot.
I know. We've done some shows with Mike Pursuta, and Mike Pursuta keeps trashing Jannard Avery.
Right, because we keep bringing him up.
The guy can play football. He's an NFL player.
He's an NFL player. He's not just a special team signing.
Right.
Like, I think he's better than Spillane.
I think they see him as a guy who can be that, that who can be Arthur Motes.
I bet he has.
Who can play inside, he can play outside, and do more than just get you out of a game.
Like, this doesn't sound like a big number, but it's not easy to accumulate with Watt and Hayward and those guys out there. I bet Avery has 3.5 sacks this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And plays 500 snaps, period.
Yeah.
Either inside, outside, blitzer, whatever. You know, is a part of the – if there's 15 defensive players that play meaningful snaps, he'll be 14th or 15th. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, six defensive backs, a rotation on the D-line, and, you know, he'll be in the game.
So, you know, it depends on where they – you know, it'd be interesting to see where they start him out at.
Right. I wonder what room he goes to first day he arrives.
Does he go outside? Does he go inside? I bet he goes outside.
Really? They don't
– Just to start, because they've got so many inside – they know he can play inside linebacker.
Yeah. They have more inside guys. The Buddy Johnsons of the world, and maybe be better path to playing time for him. I immediately think, well, he doesn't look like DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller. They don't care about that here, though. They don't care about short outside
linebackers. He's 6 foot 250 pounds.
Yeah, man. He's thick.
Yeah.
But he's not long and 6'5", you know.
Yeah.
But they don't care about that here.
And I wouldn't be surprised. They didn't add a cornerback at all.
I'd call Joe Hayden.
I'd call Joe Hayden. That's what I was just going to say. Why not?
I don't think I'm just getting Joe Blow corner, but.
You know what he is in the locker room. You know what kind of leader he is. You don't make him any promise. Hey, Joe.
We still love you.
We still love you here. Maybe, you know, we'll give you an opportunity to compete for a starting job.
That he's one of the best two.
We're not going to guarantee that to you. We're going to take it easy with you. We want to get these other guys acclimated to the system. And
hey, you don't have to practice on Wednesdays. Yeah. Take a couple days off.
But be the leader of the room.
We still love you. Yeah. And
you can cash your checks. And
nobody's calling them.
Right.
Yeah. I would look for a back. I'd look for Hayden. And I'd spend some money on an edge if
something
available.
Presents itself.
Yeah, an Ingram, a Houston.
But you may not give him what happened with Ingram last year and the way things go back before that, James Harrison before that.
Yeah.
Some of these veteran edges may look at it and go, I don't know if I want to go there because of the situation. You know, I've seen how these ones ended. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get an opportunity to get 25 pass rushes a game that I might want because I still feel I can.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what happened with Ingram. I mean, that seemed odd to me, but did he look at the guys around him and thought, I was better than them, I should be playing more? Is it just a bad personality fit from the beginning? I mean, Harrison's situation was very unique.
I think a lot of it comes down to athletic arrogance.
Yeah.
And you need that to
you
play.
You want it, right.
You need that to play in the NFL, but they all want to play 100% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Never want to, especially if you've been a star and a starter.
Right, as I say, you've been to Pro Bowls and things like that.
I think I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm better. I still want to play 5 more years. I talked to Joe Hayden 3 years ago when he was 30.
Yeah.
About, do you ever see yourself going to safety?
Right.
To extend your career. And he goes, no, I can be a cornerback in this league till I'm 35.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he never ran a 4.2 and now he's a 4.6 guy.
Right.
You know, he knows how to get by with what he has.
But you know, they always trust, they always believe that they can do those things.
Richard Sherman.
You know, when we talked to Rob Woodson, everybody brings up the Rob Woodson thing. Rob Woodson was a safety who they moved to cornerback.
Because
he was so fast.
Yeah. I mean, there's some money lost.
When he goes back to safety, it's not a big deal for him because he was a safety.
But you're not seeing it very often anymore.
No.
A lot of Hall of Famers did that at the end of their career. You know, I mentioned Lott and Charles Woodson, guys like that, but I don't know that corners want to change teams. They're old dogs. They don't want to learn new tricks.
That's the thing with Hayden. So he's like, I don't want to go in there and get. I'll be in the middle. Like, I got to go in there and run tackle every play. Like, that's not going to be good for your body.
When I was at Pitt, our defense coordinator Paul Rhodes, he would scream it over and over and over. Man eyes, zone eyes, and just think about how these players perceive the field through their eyeballs is. Minka's looking at 21 other players sideline to sideline.
Moving.
Yeah, and deciphering all that. Zone eyes, you know, like a goalie. And you know, Hayden, not that he plays man coverage every play, but he's looking at that dude's belt buckle. You know, he's looking at a quarter. You know, I mean, the way that they process the game is very different. You know, and even if you're in cover 3 off the ball, you're really looking at a triangle from quarterback to your receiver – you're not looking big picture or a guard's not coming at you and taking out your feet and a crossing route's going in front of you. I mean, it's just, yeah, there's some correlation. You cover people and you're small and fast by defensive standards, but you see the game way differently.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
I'd call Hayden back, though.
Yeah, I definitely would, just for the locker room presence.
Yeah, right.
That's worth it in itself. You feel better about the Steelers right now than you did a month ago?
Yes.
In the AFC hierarchy, how do you feel about them?
Yes, I do. Folks, you'll get sick of me saying this, and I hope I say it a lot. From this day after the draft, Monday until really camp, is the era of optimism.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to come back. Every first-round pick's going to hit.
Things are only going to get worse.
No one's going to get old.
Yeah. Yeah.
All news now in the NFL really is bad news. I mean, and in the end, all bad things are going to happen. But, yes, but I think 31 other teams are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it works. I don't know if New England is. I mean, there's a couple teams I'm kind of rolling my eyes at a little bit. Like, I don't feel as good about Cleveland, New England, a couple of those teams that might have been in the same neighborhood in the AFC.
I don't know that I think Baltimore is a better overall team than they were going into the draft, but I don't know that they helped themselves the way that they needed to help themselves, if that makes any sense. Like, I like some of their draft picks.
Sure. Kyle Hamilton's going to be good.
But they didn't add what they – there's a difference. You know, people talk about just draft the best player available. That's what the Ravens did.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes need has to be considered.
Yes.
You traded away your number one receiver.
I think less than any team in the league, they draft not for need. I mean, everyone says they draft best athlete available. Everyone lies.
Yeah.
You know, I think they, more than any team, really stick by it, especially because they have so many picks, you can get away with it. But not taking receivers odd to me and a mistake.
You got rid of two. Whether you like Miles Boykin or not, Miles Boykin started a bunch of games for them over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like Hollywood Brown or not.
Right.
He was their number one receiver.
Right. And he was pretty good for them, too.
Yeah.
You know, when he was.
So
right.
How did you make your offense? How did you make life easier for Lamar Jackson? By drafting a center?
I'm going to put it this way. Like every team, the Ravens got better in the last couple days.
Yeah.
Of course they did. Everyone did.
But did
they
get better the right way?
But I thought they would get more better.
Yeah.
Like when I looked at it 2 weeks ago.
Well, I got all these draft picks.
And I still think they're a sleeping giant in the AFC, that they could be, frankly, I put a bet down on them to win the Super Bowl at great odds like a month ago, because I think people are sleeping on them a little bit. They're not to the Chiefs and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean they're my prediction. But when I looked at them a couple weeks ago, it was, and boy, the draft is going to treat them extremely well. I thought it treated them well, not extremely well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're better. Everyone's better. But I thought it'd be like, oh, man. They picked up Breece Hall for the fun of it.
Right, just,
you know, things like that.
Because what they ended up having was 5 fourth-round picks and went into it with 4.
Right, and traded that again, right.
And again,
I see 2 starters.
Yeah.
I mean, Linderbaum will start, and I think he'll be really good for a long time. Hamilton's, I think, the same.
Yeah.
And a punter's a starter. I'm not sure who else is a starter of the group.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. Jones will be in the mix. I mean, again, I like some of the guys that they added.
Mm-hmm. I really like Armore Davis.
But I don't know if they added at the right spots.
Mm-hmm. I just thought they'd be much better. Like, they could have – Ajabo doesn't help them this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have gotten
had taken George Pickens instead of Ajabo.
Right.
You'd be like, oh, okay, that's a
– Right.
That's a home run of a draft.
Right. No, that's a good way of putting it. You know, Ajabo may pay off great down the road, but I don't know that they're drastically better.
Yeah.
Than they were. Now, I think the Steelers are noticeably better than they were.
I think they are, too.
Mm-hmm. But, and the roster construction, I like where it's at, too. You know, like, remaining holes are wants, not needs.
Yeah, we just went through them. There's nothing standing there going, boy, they have to do this.
No, I do think they have to add a running back of some sort, but that's not hard.
Yeah,
you can do that anywhere, right.
You can do that the day before the season.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for today's show. So for my partner, Matt Williams.
So we're still 3 days a week, and we're going to keep the same
thing
rolling
here.
We'll
be back on Wednesday.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll keep rolling you through here. We'll get into rookie mini camps, OTAs, training camp, mini camp itself. Lots of good stuff coming here. It all starts happening quickly now in the NFL.
It does. You think it's, exhale, it's all over.
No.
No, I mean, those rookies are on planes.
People ask me what I do in the offseason. I'm like, what do you? There is no offseason. It's the NFL.
Like 3 weeks in July.
Yeah, it's like July.
Yeah, right.
That's the offseason. I go on vacation in July. That's what I do.
Like everyone else in the league. Yeah, right.
So We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.